Wake Up Call continues on WTLS. Our pleasure to bring in Coach Derek Ansley with us this morning, defensive coordinator at the University of Tennessee, and, of course, a great former Tallahassee Tiger player. Coach, good to talk to you this morning. Derek, hope you're doing well.
Yeah, glad to be here, man. Appreciate y'all having me on.
Appreciate you taking some time. I know you're a very busy guy, but we've been doing a 100-year history, a century of Tallahassee football. This season will be our 100th season starting off. And we're looking forward to football coming back. We think it will. You know, when we go back and look at all the great seasons, we have to go back to your senior year, the 1999 football season, and talk about that. And, you know, I guess you just celebrated your 20th, is that right, this past year? 20th reunion?
Yeah, man.
Can you believe it's been 20 years?
It really doesn't feel like 20 years. It feels like yesterday that we were still playing.
You know, the football team had an incredible season. It was the first 10-0 season, because even during the O'Brien era back in the 1940s, go back that far when they won 57 straight without a loss, they didn't play that many games. So you guys had a 10-0 regular season, which had never happened at Tallahassee. And then you went on and got all the way to the semis before getting knocked out. I just want to know what the mindset was for you and those guys you played with and under Coach Rose in his second season that year going in. Did you guys feel like this is a team that has a shot?
Yeah, I think we did. You know, Coach Rose came, I guess he came in 98, which is sort of our junior year. And we kind of set the foundation, set the tone of what kind of football team we wanted to have. And the first thing was always toughness. You know, toughness and finishing. And he kind of instilled that mentality in all the kids, and we bought into it. We had really good leadership, and that kind of carried over to 99 with a lot of guys coming back from the 98 team. I think we went 7-5 in 98, went through the second round with a whole bunch of guys coming back. So we kind of felt like we had a chance to be pretty good, you know, if everybody would do what they're supposed to do, you know, in the offseason. And that translated into a great summer, and we got off to a great start early in the year, and it kind of, you know, we kind of got some momentum, and it was hard to stop toward the end of the year.
One thing about that team, Derek, was this wasn't some huge roster with 50, 60 players, and that's not a real big roster for a lot of high schools, but for us it would be pretty average. You only had like 30 guys on the team that dressed out. So talk about that and how you guys were able to – obviously you were one of those players that played pretty much the entire game and were fit and ready to do that and able to get through an entire long 14-game season.
Yeah, you know – football, you know, we were 4A. You know, it's a little bit different back then than it is now. You know, I think we had 28 guys is always the number that we always remember, the guys we had on our team that actually, you know, contributed. And a lot of guys played both ways, you know, so that's a whole different mindset. You know, when a guy has to go from playing tailback to go and play corner like Justin Williams, or Ron Griffin goes from playing wing back, him and Chris Thompson, and go and play linebacker and defensive end. You know, Brad Peters playing fullback and switching over to play, you know, Mike linebacker, Jared Blair playing tight end and going over to play, you know, linebacker. So, you know, our guys never really came off the field. And I think one, you have to find the right guys. You don't need a lot of guys. You got the right formula and the right leadership and the right chemistry and the right personality. And all those things kind of gelled with us in 99. And a lot of guys went both ways. And nowadays, you know, kids want to specialize and play one side of the ball. But I'm a believer in if you can play football, you should play all the time. You know, whether that's multiple positions or multiple sports even. You know, stay active, not necessarily try to specialize because you got college and professional where you can just specialize in one sport. So that's kind of what it was, man. A lot of guys, you know, were close. You know, we had a good senior class, and the junior class was really good. I remember even Book Peters was a defensive end in 10th grade, you know, was a contributor. You know, Dan Williams and Eric Cagle up front were contributors on the D-line. I think Eric was a ninth grader. So we had a good group of guys. Again, not a lot of guys, but the right guys.
No doubt. You talk about being versatile. You were a heck of a basketball player, too. But on football, playing both ways, you know, I couldn't say you were any better on either side. You're as good as high school quarterback as I've seen at Tallahassee. And then on defense, I mean, anything that was thrown up in the air in the secondary, you were going to get. Do you think you were better at one or the other? Obviously, played college football as a defensive back.
Well, you know, I attribute the defensive back play to Coach Sylvester Atkins, our defensive coordinator, who was my secondary coach my junior and senior year. When he first came in with Coach Rose, he said, if you want to go to college, you need to play defensive back. And that kind of stuck with me. He's right. You know, I was a decent quarterback. I had, you know, really good run game. We did a lot of play action. I didn't have to do a lot in the pass game. You know, we ran the ball a lot. But I had the luxury of seeing what good quarterback play looked like at Towson. You know, growing up watching Jonathan Rivers, you know, growing up watching Brent Timmerman, you know, some of those guys that came before me, you know, Cannon. So I kind of seen those guys growing up and kind of looked up to those guys and wanted to just do my part and make sure we kind of cemented our place in Towson history. But flipping over to play defensive back, you know, that was something that I always did as a young kid growing up in the neighborhood, just, you know, reading the quarterback's eyes and thinking like a quarterback. I think if you think like a quarterback and stay one step ahead of him, you can be a good defensive back.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, how much it helped you being a quarterback on offense and then being able to do what you did on defense, because I guess you know exactly what's coming a lot of times.
Yeah, and preparation, you know, is key. You know, like I said, 98 came, Coach Rose brought a whole other mentality, a whole other style of play, you know, a whole different way of thinking about the game. And Coach Atkins did the same thing on defense. And I remember we went down to St. Paul's in 99, the third round, and we had worked on a particular drag route that they ran a lot. You know, they were a big boot team and, you know, get the quarterback in the perimeter and run tight ends, dragging. We put in a special coverage. I want to say it was like special red or something where free safety was going to meet, which would be me jumping the crossing route. And I'd be dang on. They ran that route, and I picked it off and ran it back for a long way, which is a big play in the game. But I never would have made that play if Coach Atkins wanted to, you know, recognize the play first and then put in a special coverage to help us, you know, contribute to that play.
Do you have a memory of how many interceptions you had that 99 year?
I think it was 12.
That's one thing that stood out to me. It seemed like every time anything was put up, you would get, and I know nobody has done that at Towson, I can imagine, having 12 interceptions in a season. Do you remember what your career numbers were?
23.
There you go.
23.
And then you carried over to college. You were one of the best that Troy's had back there. Obviously, you were very good during those years at Troy University.
Yeah. I think I had 19 in college. But again, it wasn't really, you know, my doing. In high school, you know, nobody could run the ball on us in 4A. You know, with Dan Williams and Eric Hagel inside and, you know, Chris Thompson on the edge and Luke Peters on the edge and Jerry Blair inside and Brad inside, you know, nobody could run the ball. So everything was they had to throw the ball to try to move the ball. So that just kind of played into my hands. We had Justin Williams at a corner, Cody Goodman at the other corner, and we just kind of played a lot of man free and cover three, and I just kind of roamed around and read the quarterback. But if you can stop the run, you make the quarterback play left-handed. And we did that a lot, you know, in 98 and 99. And then that carried over to Troy. Had the luxury of playing with really good defense alignment down there, OCU Mignora and DeMarcus Ware, you know, so that made my job easy.
That's good. You know, when you look at that season, you guys ran through the entire regular season without a loss, but it wasn't that you were just completely wiping every team out. There were a couple of close calls during that season. One that comes to mind is Central Coosa, who on the, you know, record didn't have a great season, but they had some studs. And I want you to talk about that game, which you guys won 16-14 at Coosa.
Well, I think Coosa, you know, surprisingly beat us in 98. You know, which was, you know, shocked us a little bit. We weren't really prepared for that game, you know, as far as mentally. And they came in here and beat us. And then the 99 team, you know, again, it goes back to having the right guys. They didn't have but a handful of ball players. You know, we all know Central Coosa is always known for basketball. You know, they're a really good basketball program. Yep. And they had Justin Tuck playing defensive end and tight end. And if you know Justin Tuck, he went on to play at Notre Dame and I think it was a first, second-round draft pick for the Giants, played, you know, 10-plus years in the NFL.
Exactly.
And they were a really good football team. One of the toughest games we had that whole year outside of Real Town. You know, so, you know, we had a good team, but you're right. We didn't beat everybody handily. We had some tough battles in there with Coosa, you know, with Dable the first time and with Real Town. You know, those teams kind of showed our reserve a little bit.
How about that Real Town game? You won 37-20 in Real Town the week after the Coosa game, and this is a game that's coming back this year. Talk about playing in that game. It was always a big deal, and it's good to see it coming back this year for the fans.
Yeah, it's something that needed to be happening a long time ago. You know, it's very tragic that, you know, the kids, you know, we basically missed a generation of kids that are playing against each other, which I think is very healthy. We have people that know each other that are so closely located and living and closely related in sports relationship, I think you always got to have that rivalry game. And I'm glad that they brought it back, which needed to be done. Now, I played in that game 3 years. I played in that in 97, 98, and 99. And every game was tough. You know, every game was tough. And I remember the 99 game particularly, because Real Time was young. They had L.A. O'Neal, Joe Mack Hutchinson as a tailback. And they were really young. I think they were 10th graders. And they played us toe-to-toe, man. And I knew then, after that game, they were going to be really good in the next 2 years. And I think they're in 2001 or two, they won a state championship. Right. But anytime you're playing against your rival, your friends, your relatives, that's going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight, no matter what the record is, no matter how big the schools are, you know, how many people on the team, because you only put 11 out there at a time. And again, it goes back to 99. You don't need but the right 11, 15, 20 players to go out there and play winning football. So I'm excited to see that game come back this fall, and hopefully we keep that tradition going every year.
You know, you guys beat Elmore County, another rivalry game at 28-0 before the final game. Daveville played them a bunch over the years. That's another rival. And won 21-16, and that was to finish a 10-0 regular season to get ready for the playoffs. You know, it was a tough win. It ended up being a very close game. A lot of pressure to try to finish off a perfect season and get ready for the playoffs. And it's a team you end up playing again, and they just stuffed them 31-0 in the second round of the playoffs. I guess you guys kind of got into a groove at that point. Well, you've been in a pretty good one all year. You hadn't lost a game. So talk about as you kind of finish off the regular season and head into the postseason.
Well, you know, I'll start with the Elmore County game. You know, Elmore County had a good team that year. And I don't think they, you know, was the record showed it, but they played us very well. You know, and this, it goes back to being a complete team. And they were really focused on stopping Justin. You know, Justin was a back-to-back. Justin Weed was a back-to-back 2,000-yard rusher, one of the best backs in Towson history. And they focused on stopping him. And I think he may have had 50 yards that night over neglected. But we beat him through the air. You know, I think Ron had a touchdown pass. Jared Blair had a couple touchdown catches. Chris Thompson. And I think that you have to be a complete team to make a run in the playoffs. And I go back to, you know, we played Booker T. Washington. Yep. You know, they sold out to stop the pass, and Justin Williams almost ran for 400 yards on them. So you got to be able to beat them in the air and on the ground. And when we got to Daveville, you know, everybody knows Dave was always fast. You know, from when they had Rodriguez Brooks and Rodney Creighton, always team speed when you play a team like Daveville. And they had a really good quarterback, Hunter Baker. And they were tough, they were big, and they played us toe-to-toe. You know, we end up winning the game late and finishing, but I have a hard time believing that, you know, we're sitting here 9-0 and playing Daveville at home, chance to make history. We weren't going to lose that game. No kind of way.
So you beat Dale County first round, Daveville again in a rematch in the second, and then you go to Mobile to play St. Paul's. One of the great wins for Tattlesee in its history to get back to the semis just for the second time in the school's history. What a game that had to be. How do you describe that one?
Well, that was a heavyweight fight. You know, for one, if you know anything about going to St. Paul's, a lot of tradition, a lot of great players come out of there. Mark Barron, A.J. McCarron, you know, really good players come from St. Paul. Well-coached, tough. And they tried to intimidate us, you know, before the game. They came down, they walked down the hill pregame, and they were chanting, and we were sitting there warming up, and the intimidation factor was real. And it was a real atmosphere. And it was a back and forth. You know, they had a really good tailback, Bo Fleming, really good quarterback, the Jones kid, I think Tiger Jones. And they were very, very similar to us, you know, built from the run game and try to beat you with play action and play good defense. And we ended up winning 21-19, and got the stops we needed, got a couple turnovers, and converted some fourth downs and kept the clock moving and ended up getting a win out of that, which is a huge win for us.
As I mentioned, we'd never been to the semis but once in the history of the 84 season, which Trey would remember well. He was on that team. But the first time we went to Bruton to play, this was one we got to host here. What was that like with that game being here versus Jemison? And obviously, Tattlesee had a huge crowd. What's it like as a player getting ready for a big-time game like that?
Well, I tell you, looking back at it now, you know, I've coached, had the luxury of coaching in some big games in SEC, you know, SEC championship games, playoff games, you know, national championship games, you know, coaching the NFL on Monday Night Football, coached over in London. I go back to that game that Friday night, nothing like that atmosphere. When you talk about coming out of the locker room and not really being able to breathe because there's so many people you know, in one small location, and the atmosphere of having, you know, real town people there, Elmore County people there to support you, you know, Daville people. I mean, it was really surreal to see the kind of support we had that night. And unfortunately, we came up short, but that was the atmosphere that, to me, in my career playing or coaching, was you know, top two or three that I've ever been part of.
Wow, that's saying something, because, again, you play college football, you went on, now you've, as you mentioned, all the coaching jobs and duties you've had over the years has brought you, and we talked a lot about that, but it's brought you to Knoxville and coaching with Jeremy Pruitt at the University of Tennessee. And you got a stadium like Neyland Stadium that packs 100,000 plus in there on a Saturday. I'm curious to know what it's been like now with this coronavirus stuff going on for you guys. A completely different type of scenario that you've ever seen, I'm sure, and getting ready for this season.
Well, at first, it's taken a lot of patience, you know, on the coaching staff's part, taking a lot of, you know, leadership and discipline on our players' part, because everything's been, you know, digital or virtual. You know, there's not been any face-to-face meetings. They just came back about 2 weeks ago to start back, you know, voluntary workouts here on campus. So that it's been challenging, you know, but at the same time, everybody's got the same situation, the same, you know, cards being dealt to everybody. So the team that takes advantage of it and manages the best way and comes out on this thing ahead is going to be a team that starts the season off the right way.
You guys had a little bit of a rocky start last year, but boy, you finished strong. What are the expectations this year for this football program?
Well, just to take the next step, you know, put a winning product on the field, you know, play good defense, you know, protect the ball on offense, you know, play sound special teams, and just play with toughness. You know, if we do those things, then we'll have a chance to win, you know, every ball game we're in. So the expectation is to take the next step.
One of the big games of the year will be you guys going to Norman, Oklahoma, and I know you're the defensive guy, so you got to work on that offense. They have got I've always had a tremendous offense. I'm sure that'll be something that will be keeping you up, and I know you've been working on that and everything else that goes with the season.
Yeah. Lincoln Riley does a really good job of recruiting. Oklahoma's a national brand, you know, a lot of history. So it'll be a tough task for us going to Norman game two. We're looking forward to it.
Do you expect, Coach, that we're going to have regular crowds and we're going to play football on time and everything's going to go according to plan?
Well, I think you got to watch NASCAR, you know, and see how they kind of manage what they have going on, you know, here starting back shortly. I do know if they don't have professional football or professional sports, you're probably not going to have collegiate athletics. So we got to take a step back and see how NASCAR and if the NBA comes back and how they kind of manage the crowd control. I think that's going to be a direct correlation of how we move forward in September.
We'll let you go after this, but I do want to ask a question, and I probably asked you this before, but when going back those 20 years we talk about when you were a player at Tattlesee and a student here, could you imagine what you'd be today back then? What did you have these kind of aspirations? I want to be a coach. What were your thoughts as a high school kid going to college?
Well, the first thing I wanted to do was graduate. You know, I wanted to be the best player I could be and graduate. And, you know, my dad always told me, and always stuck with me. He told me, don't be like him, be better than him. And that was the best advice he could have gave me, because that stuck with me. You know, when you go to college, you're going to always run into those hurdles of being homesick or not being the best player, guys being bigger than you and stronger than you. And you go through those adverse times, and you have to have something to hang your hat on. And I always leaned on that statement my dad told me. But I never thought I was going to be a coach. Most people always said in high school and when I was playing college ball at Troy that I kind of carried myself and act like a coach on the field, which at safety, you got to kind of think that way. You kind of got to be the quarterback of the defense. So you kind of need to know where everybody's at. And if you see things like that, then you have the opportunity to be a guy that can lead young men one day. And I'll tell you what's the best thing that I could have ever done. I've been coaching 15 years, and I don't feel like I've worked a day in my life post-college.
You're loving every minute of it. I understand that. And, hey, we're loving watching you. We're always keeping an eye on what you're doing. We certainly appreciate your time. It's been our pleasure to have you on again. Derek, appreciate you always being willing to come back and talk to us.
Thank you, guys. Anytime.
All right. Good luck this season. We'll talk soon. Hope to see you maybe this fall. Thank you very much, Derek Angeli, coach, defensive coordinator up at the University of Tennessee, going back and reflecting on the 1999 team, obviously one of the best Tattlesees ever put on the field as we get ready for the 100th season of Tattlesee Tigers football starting off this August.